in this day and age where you don't know what is truth and what is lies. I think we've mentioned that a few times up here at this pulpit. It's a really a good thing to remind ourselves of what is truth. And especially those things, and I think in particular those things, that the Bible leaves a little ambiguous sometimes and doesn't give enough for our own remembrance or understanding, it seems sometimes. Some words and some benefit of understanding some things. Like, for instance, if I mention the rapture, and then people, we've talked about this a little bit, the word rapture is not in the Bible, and yes it is, but it's in a different language, it's in the word Greek, and we understand that. Rapture is in the Latin, and the words mean caught up. If you want to use a good word for English, it's caught up. It is in the scripture several times. Is the word Trinity in the scriptures? The word Trinity is not in the scriptures. So some, like the Jehovah Witness, the Mormons, Islam, I hate to throw those kind of groups together, but they don't believe in the triune God. But if you study the word enough, you can't help but come up with that idea, that doctrine, the vital doctrine of the church, the triune God. God says in several places that he shares his glory with no one. I remember when I was 16, I just came into the church, and there was some leaders in the youth group, and one of them was a strange fellow, 30, I'll never forget him, love him to death. His name was Gary. and I remember so clearly, he said one time, God shares his glory with no one. And I don't know why I've mentioned, I remember that for almost 50 years. There is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We can all finish that sentence, huh? The Lord is one. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. He says it twice in one verse. He wants to make it really clear. There's only one God. Now, we all agree with this, right? This is a clear Christian doctrine. It hails from the Old Testament. And sometimes it gets lost in transition or lost in translation. Deuteronomy 4:35, you were shown these things so that you would know that the Lord is God. There's no other besides him. And then also in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 8:4, so that we're really clear that you can't have the Old Testament without the New, and you can't have the New Testament without the Old. And again, I like the First Testament and the Second Testament better, because some people want to throw out the Old Testament because it's old and we don't live by the law and it's too rough and there's too much gore in there or whatever. They come up with these weird ideas. The First Testament and the Second Testament, because you got to have them together. 1 Corinthians 8:4, there is no God but one. I think Paul was pretty clear. Galatians 3:20, God is one. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God. That's Paul. And yet, Trinity is not in the Bible. And we believe in a triune God. In the first council, the church, first church council in Nicaea in 325, and you can blame the Catholic Church for a lot of things. You can blame Constantinople for a lot of things. You can... And Constantine for a lot of things and those other things. You can put a lot of blame on on some of these things. But you know what? A couple of things they did right. One of them was this council in 325, where somebody, Arius, was coming up and saying, well, Jesus, he wasn't deity, especially before he was killed. He was not deity. He couldn't have been. Now, in your Greek thinking, right? And remember, Greek thinking compartmentalizes things. And if you look at somebody, and this is why, by the way, this is why, even among the church today, some 60%, the last I saw, 60 to 70% of Christians, so-called Christians, believe Jesus had to have sinned in his life. See, in our Greek thinking, it's like, wait a minute, I experienced this, and what do we experience? And Jesus couldn't have made it 33 years without just thinking a wrong thought, at least thinking something. He coveted something or somebody at some point, right? The Mary Magdalene stupid stories. I know I throw some of those terms out every once in a while, but I mean them. They're stupid stories. Where he and Mary Magdalene were married. It's dumb. It's pathetic. Because, see, we can't come to grips with this idea of a son who is completely holy, lived a complete life, complete. And by the way, even more than that, he is God incarnate. God came down. O Emmanuel. Isaiah 7 and 8. I didn't have to reach into the New Testament for that. God with us as a baby. So Arius, this Alexander priest, he questioned the full divinity of Christ, and boy, the church ripped him asunder. And that's a good thing. And that's why in the creeds you say, you know, there's the divinity of Christ right up front. So we take it for granted, don't we, now? Us Christians, I hope that you just take it, not so much for granted, but as solid rock, as Gary was talking about this morning, a solid rock doctrine is that Jesus is God, manifested in the flesh. The word's manifested, and that's a key word, by the way. So, when we talk about the triune God, we want to talk about eggs, or we want to talk about apples, or we're going to talk about the clover. And they don't really work, do they, too much? I mean, they break down. Like, how can I explain the Trinity to you? Let me show you a clover, or let me show you an apple, you know. They all break down. Why? Because his ways are above our ways, and who has known the mind of God, and who knows who he is? Who has seen him? Who has seen him besides the one who came from him? There's only one. That's Jesus. No one has seen him. In Genesis 1, you have, in the beginning, Elohim created. See, in our English text, we can get thrown off by this. We can say, okay, God. And there's one. We go right to the Father, maybe, or the Creator. There's that one person he created, but the word is Elohim. El, in translation in English, E-L is translated for God, okay? And him means plural. And right up front, in the beginning, Elohim, plural for God. Now, that really should throw us for a loop, but we don't in the English because really it should not throw us for a loop so much as to get to study it and understand it, whatever, but we say, we take it for granted, like God is one, and so we just go to verse 2 and verse 3, right? No, stop. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And I'm telling you, verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis, God is saying, now listen, you better pay attention and you better just believe because you're not going to get it. It's like that when Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, and then they didn't get it. What happened to the 70 disciples? They left. because it doesn't make sense. Folks, doesn't have to make sense. We want it to make sense. God wants to make it sense to us. We want to study it. That's why we have good teachers in this church. That's why we keep on going. We keep on teaching all the Bible because we want to know all the Bible. But we're not going to get everything. We're not going to get everything. And it's okay. But if you stop studying, it's not okay. I don't want to study that. I don't want to talk about the rapture. I don't want to talk about the second coming. I don't want to talk about the Trinity. They're too confusing. There's too much involved. Amen. God is huge. He's a lot bigger than, you know, he's all of that. In the beginning, God created. Now, in John chapter 1, in the beginning, I love this. Remember? John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And we go, okay, that's a Bible. But watch, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is where the Jehovah Witness go, time out, time out. And they've changed this verse, as well as some others. They changed this. Oh, the Greek really says that. No, it does not. No, it does not. Watch verse 2. They have to change this one too because there's a pronoun there. He was in the beginning with God. Now, if you're thinking God is one, this can't be right, we would say, right? We would say, this can't be right. But it's got to be, so I'm going to take it by faith and try to understand it. And then you go back again to the Old Testament where it says, Emmanuel, God is with us. And the virgin will bear a child, and all those kinds of things. Isaiah 53. All those kinds of things. Hezekiah. He knew he was going to see Yahweh in the land. He knew it. I love it. So, we say, now I don't understand this, but I've got to try. And I'm going to accept it. There was somebody in the beginning with God. And God, that's a Greek word, God, theos, one God. And so, this person is in the beginning with God, and all things were made through this person. And without him, And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now some people, this is where people say, now wait a minute. Genesis chapter 1 says, God made, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And now here, we got a second person that says, all things were made through him. And Colossians 1 says the same thing, that everything was made and even sustained by him and through him. So, we say, well, this is a Christian doctrine. No, it's not. It's God's doctrine. It's a biblical doctrine. We have to get it. We have to understand it. It's already been mentioned to us in the Old Testament. Colossians 1:5, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in him and in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now again, this verse seems confusing off the bat in English, doesn't it? Because he is the image of God, so he's not God, he's just the image of God. He is the firstborn of all creation, but he's the firstborn of creation, but he made creation? Okay, what's confusing here? The word firstborn isn't of preeminence and not order or chronology. It is preeminent. He is above all creation. Now, when you translate and when you interpret scripture, you use scripture. You don't use anybody's ideas. I wanted to use the word stupid again. You don't use people's ideas. Just because they can't make sense of it. We say, okay, in the beginning he was, and all things were created in him, and now he's the image of God. So what is happening here? God is coming down to the planet, and he's manifesting himself as the firstborn of all creation. He has come down in a tent. The Shekinah glory is in that tent. When he walked into the temple courts, the Shekinah glory came in. They rejected him, but he was there. He left in chapter 10 of Ezekiel. He was coming back because he wanted to come back. They rejected him. He's coming back one more time. He's only going to do it one more time. And he's coming through the golden gate, the eastern gate. So in Romans 9:5, he's talking about the Hebrews. He says, to them belong the patriarchs. From their race according to the flesh is Christ, Messiah. Christ means Messiah. That's a man, always been a man. And this is where the Jews go, time out, can't hack this. According to the flesh is the Messiah who is God. I love those verses. I mark every deity verse I find. Christ is God. He's over all, blessed forever. Amen. Why? Because his Father wants him to be. Genesis 1:26. Then Elohim, so then God, so watch this, 1:26. Then Elohim, triune God, said, let us make man in our image. In 3:22, then the Lord God, Yahweh is his name. God is who he is. It's his person. Yahweh is his name. He made it known to especially Moses and others, but Moses in particular at first. Yahweh is his name. Elohim is a common masculine plural abstract of God. It's a plural. And so Yahweh God said, behold, the man has become like us. Yahweh said that. The one God said that. Yahweh said in 11:7, the one God, Yahweh, said, and that's his name, said, let us go down and confuse them. And all you got to do, Lord God, is you don't even have to come down. You have to say you're a plural God, and Yahweh says, let us. I'm confused. One name said, let us. But we don't have to be confused. We just have to believe that there's one God, three persons. The Muslims hate this. The Jews hate this. They hate the idea of a divine son. Okay? Jesus in John 10:32. For which of these stone do you stone me? Which of these miracles do you stone me? And what do they say? We do not stone you for any of these works or any of these miracles. We stone you because you being a mere man, claim to be the Son of God. Why did Jesus die? Because he claimed to be God incarnate, the Son of God. The Jews say that they are the Son. In Isaiah 53, you know, the Son, I called my son out of Egypt, and he did. And actually, Israel is called a son in the Old Testament. But they're not the only begotten son. That's Jesus, and he was called out of Egypt as well. John 5:43, I have come to you in my Father's name, but you have rejected me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you gladly welcome him. So there's an Antichrist that's going to come, and they're going to welcome him. But Jesus saying, I have come to you in my Father's name, and you've rejected me. Now, you know some about the Dome of the Rock. And on that dome, Surah 4171 is, and it starts on the south, in the name of Allah, the merciful, compassionate. There's no Allah but Allah. Now, in the English, they want to say God. There's no God but God. But the word is Allah. Just so you know, Aramaic doesn't have another word for God. It has Allah. So there's some confusion there, but we can work that out at some other point. But there's no Allah but Allah. He is one. He has no associate. And then there's a little bit of more writing, and then it says, Muhammad is the servant of Allah and his messenger. So Muhammad's the messenger. Now, who is our messenger? Who is the biblical messenger? That's the Holy Spirit and Jesus, right? Just so we know. O people of the book, so they're talking to Christians, do not exaggerate in your religion. On the east side, it says, nor utter aught concerning God save the truth. The Messiah. So see, all around that building is targeting one group. You. This whole building. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of Allah. And his word which he conveyed unto Mary and his spirit from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers and say not three persons. Jesus was a man. He came from God. But he's just a man. And he's a messenger just like Muhammad. And it says, far be it removed from his transcendent majesty, God's, that he should have a son. Far be it from God to have a son. O Allah, bless your messenger and your servant Jesus. On the northwest side it says, son of Mary, be peace on him. The day he was born and day he dies and the day he shall be raised alive. Such was Jesus, son of Mary. This is a statement of the truth concerning which they doubt, Christians doubt. It befitteth not the majesty of Allah that he should take unto himself a son. That whole building. You know why? Because it was in Christian territory. The Byzantines were there. So when we visited, I was interested to see if some of others seen this, but it says, Jesus said, I am indeed a slave of Allah. Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him alone. What are they getting at? Well, I'll show you what they're getting at. Here's another sign I took a picture of. It says, O people of the scripture, cease. Do not exceed what is written, the limits in your religion. Say nothing but the truth about Allah, the one true God. The Christ Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of God, and his word conveyed to Mary and his spirit created by him, so believe in God and his messenger and do not say three God Trinity. Indeed, Allah is the one and the only God. His holiness is far above having a son. Now, we can pick on the Muslims and we can pick on Jehovah's Witness, but let me say something. Remember that they killed Jesus Christ because he claimed to be deity. When he comes back, actually, before he comes back, the Antichrist will set himself up to be God. And it's at that point the Jews will say, time out. And that's when Jesus said, run. Because, see, they can't see any man being equal to God. So it's at that point they will reject the Antichrist. And that's a good thing. But they rejected the manifestation of God himself. Isaiah 63. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people, where he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock, where he put them in the midst of his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to be at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about a person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It's only mentioned as a personal pronoun three times in the Old Testament. This is one of them. The other two, I think, are in Psalms. But the Spirit of God is mentioned all the way through the Old Testament. But him as a personal pronoun is mentioned three times. He is a person. Or throw out the book of Isaiah. So now we've got God a person, Jesus a person, and the Holy Spirit a person. Now, I know this seems somewhat confusing, but this is just exactly what the scriptures say. God is one, there's three persons. Now, let's think about this for a second. He's God. We don't get him. We don't understand him. But look what he's made. So we say, okay, Lord, I don't get you. I don't know how you made that little baby. I don't know how you made some of these folks. That guy in the mirror. But Lord, I get you. I'm going to understand you and I'm going to believe you. You are the bread of life. I don't quite understand it, but you are who you say you are. No ifs, no ands, or buts. Now we're going to get into his character and his attributes more later. This is going to be a series that I've decided to do based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We got to the end and said, do not quench the Spirit. And I've been thinking about this for some time, and when I got there, that confirmed what we need to do. And we're going to go into prayer next, because they go hand in hand. We're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit. So John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he, personal pronoun, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he speaks, hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you all that the Father has in mind. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, do you remember what Jesus was saying also in the book of John when he said, I do nothing except what I hear my Father say? Now, there's a kind of a theme going on here. You see, the Spirit's going to do what Jesus says and the Father says, and Jesus is going to do what the Father says, but they're all one. We've got a clue here, right? Of the order of God. There's no confusion in heaven. It's the order of the Trinity. It is the unity of the Trinity. They act the same. They decide the same. They believe the same. They don't always do the same things, right? Because Jesus manifested the Father. And the Spirit is here. And Jesus is in spirit here. You see how even confused I can get here? Like, okay, the Spirit of Jesus is in my heart, so he's here in my heart, but I don't see Jesus sitting amongst us, do you? So we say, see, I'm a little confused. Good. It's a good place to be, because you're walking in faith and not by sight. We simply take the scriptures and say, okay, God, you're three persons. I don't get it. I don't get it. But I will give you another little hint. How many parts do you have in your being? Your body, your soul, and your spirit. The Jews always thought that a person is body, soul, and spirit. You can't have three. You can't have one without the other. Now we say, well, the body dies. So then you go to the grave, right? And you're going to be resurrected on that day. That's why you have to have a body. That's the glory that's coming. You're going to get your body back. So that's your body, your soul, and your spirit. So God is three in one. Now, this Holy Spirit, he's not Jibril, who Muslims say. The Muslims say that the Holy Spirit is Gabriel, and that he is the messenger from heaven, and so is he brought it down, of course, the doctrines and stuff to Muhammad, who again also is the messenger. Now, watch the types here. And I think this is real fun if you just think about this. Is there a type of the Father in the Old Testament? Abraham, whose name is Father, he had a son named Jacob who he was going to sacrifice, right? So do you see a type there? Abraham and then Isaac. Isaac is the son who he was going to sacrifice. So Isaac is a type of the son, right? And then you have Jacob, and then you have David, who's a type. Jacob is a type of the father. He has a bunch of kids. Who was his favorite son? Joseph. Gave him the coat. Remember? And then so Abraham's favorite son is Isaac. And Jacob's favorite son, actually he's his only son. And Jacob's favorite son is Joseph. And who was David's favorite son? Solomon. So you have Solomon, who is what? The king of peace. Solomon means peace. We have the types of the Father and the Son running through the Old Testament. Do we have a type of the Holy Spirit? If you look up Abraham's servant, his name is Eleazar. It means helper. He's a servant of the Father. He goes to get his son a bride. He gives her many gifts. Did the Spirit give us gifts? After he was sent, you never see his name, Eleazar. Once he's introduced, you never see his name again. He's always the servant. Why? Because he glorifies the Father. He went for the Father. And that's what the Holy Spirit's done. He went on behalf of the Father and the Son. You find typology there as well. So every time Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, it is a He. The summary is there's a Father, a Son, and the Spirit. Now, Jude says certain people are going to creep in to the church and they're going to mess this up. They're going to mess with our brains. And I've told this story a couple times where I had a good friend, Methodist. She was a Methodist teacher to kids and stuff. And there's other stories, but this one just keeps coming up to me, that she was in the church forever. And then a Jehovah Witness showed up at her door and asked her this question. How can Jesus be praying to himself? Why would he pray to himself? And when you do that, you put somebody in a box in the Greek thinking and say, that doesn't make sense. You're right. Jesus can't be God. And I have no idea where she's at now. She's passed. You see, the woke people, the woke are asleep. The woke are asleep. And they've snuck into the church and have put the church to sleep. Good Christians are now publishing this junk. Good Christian denominations are now teaching this junk. And good Christian preachers are preaching this junk. Well, they were. They were. They're not good anymore. They've changed the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:6, I have applied all these things for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor by one against another. In other words, we have to take it and understand it and just accept it in faith. Understand it the best you can. And say, okay, I get it, and I believe it. And that's it. And that's it. The RSVP in 1952 was literal. It came from the ASV. They were good Bibles. But in the 1989, the National Council of Churches released a full-scale revision to the RSV called the NRSV. It was the first major version to use gender-neutral language. You got books like The Shack coming out with this junk and calls the Holy Spirit a female or a woman. Now listen, God represents himself sometimes in nurturing and those kinds of things of a woman. But the only woman that is accepted by God is the bride that is Israel and the church. The queen of heaven is not. There's no queen of heaven. There's only a king of heaven. He's a father, a judge, a savior, a ruler, a warrior, a shepherd, a husband. And both the Greek and the Hebrews are all, in the pronouns, male. So don't go beyond what is written. We don't have to. We may not like it, but we don't have to. Wisdom is female, if that helps you. The word wisdom. The word truth is female, if that helps you. But we don't have to go there. We don't have to worry about this, do we? We just accept the Creator. See, He makes the rules, and we want to get to heaven. And that's the bottom line. He's the King of heaven. So I'm going to finish with this verse, and then we'll pick it up next week. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Helper is a male masculine pronoun or title. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and in you. And here's where I want to stop. He dwells with you and in you. You know how you know a believer? They believe. They believe. You'll know them by their fruits. But all you got to do is start asking them, hey, because there's going to be false teachers. They're going to come in. They're going to be like, they look like you, and they come in. What do they bring in? What kind of teaching do they bring in? Do you believe that there's three in one? Yes. That person's on the right road. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is a helper and a friend and is sent from God to do the work of the Father and the Holy Spirit? Yes. We're going to get into more of who this person is, who sent him, under whose authority is he, and over the next few weeks and maybe a month or two, we're going to talk about his work in your life. Because I just want to say this. When you pray to the Father, you have Jesus. Jesus said that if you have the Father, you have the Son, and if you have the Son, you have the Father. So when you pray to the Lord, when you pray to the Father, you have Jesus. You pray to the Jesus, you have the Father, right? Okay. But do you see Jesus' face sitting in the pews? No. Who do you go to? Who helps you? Who helps you understand this stuff? The Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about as we go forward. Lord Jesus, we worship you. And one of the reasons, there's lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is because you said you have to go away. And it makes us cry. It made the disciples grieve. And yet you said you got to go away because then the Holy Spirit would come. If you didn't go away, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. The Holy Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit of light, the Holy Spirit of comfort and help and guiding, helping us to understand your word, giving us the power to live this life. We're very, very grateful for you, God. We're very, very grateful for you, Yahweh, and Elohim, and Adonai, and El Shaddai, and Yeshua HaMashiach. We worship your holy name. We praise you. And I pray right now that you will fill every heart here, Lord God, that they will know your glory. They will know your majesty. Not in their flesh, not in their eye with their eyes, but they know it in their heart that it is coming and we will one day see you in your kingdom. Thank you so much for that hope and that pleasure we will see. In Jesus' precious name, amen.